AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. This hour of Rogan and Rodney brought to you by Wood Ranch. Award-winning barbecue. WoodRanch.com.
We want it.
Order online today.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570LASports. 2 hour show today. Then Petros and Money jump on. We have Clipper basketball tonight. The Clippers in Milwaukee. Big day for us here between now and 2 o'clock. So if you want to be kind, let your friends know. If you want to be selfish, keep it to yourself. But we are giving away home for the holidays,
yes,
Rodney.
Yes, we are!
100,000 Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards bonus points. You can use anywhere Southwest Airlines flies.
Love some Southwest. 50. You hear me, Kevin? love Southwest Airlines. Oh, they make it easy and friendly.
They do. You know what? If you fly out of Burbank,
yeah,
it's just...
Oh, in and out.
In and out. It really is the best. All right, 50-inch Westinghouse TV. You like Westinghouse, too?
I love my Westinghouse. Takes me way back to my granddaddy days.
It's a Roku 4K TV. Got a smart speaker. You like the smart speaker?
Smart speakers like me. Smart.
Got a $100 cash card. You like that money?
Ooh, ain't got nothing against those credit cards, but the cash is the best.
All right. We got a $50 gas card. You got gas?
No, but you do.
We got a $50 Uber card. You like Uber?
Uber, Snooba, Booba, Dooba. I love Uber. Put my kids in an Uber and see you later.
And if that's not enough, there's a $100 card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse.
I love BJ's.
There you go. Well, who doesn't? All right. So anyway, that's it. We're giving away home for the holidays between now and 2 o'clock. I'm not going to give you the exact time, but we'll give it away between now and 2, maybe during the 1 o'clock hour. Maybe not. That's what we're doing today. Oh,
I love it. I love it.
All right.
Hey, Fred, before we get started, I gotta apologize to you, man. I really do.
You do?
Yeah, and it's rare.
It's that's rare. For sure.
Because you don't, you know, you're usually on point, so I don't have to apologize. I don't get in your face too much.
Well, that's kind. Thank you.
And I'm usually right most of the time, so I don't have to apologize.
Well, that's unfortunately true too. Yeah, that's
but I do because. You know, I mocked you, we made fun of you when you were coming up with these trade scenarios for the Dodgers and what you wanted to give up to get, you know, Lindor.
Right.
We talked about Garrett, but mainly the Cleveland trade. I think that you talked with Ned about it and Ned kind of scratched his head and was kind of mocking you as well, but well, I was mocking you.
The first time.
Yeah.
When I had the major deal with Mookie Betts.
Yes.
And I came back.
You came back.
Tried again.
You came back and a little more precise.
And he said, you're getting closer.
Yeah. And he said he had to think about it. He had to think about price, but I got to think about it. It's intriguing. Well, now it turns out that, you know, you're not far off, Fred. According to a certain former general manager, you're not too far off that deal like that could happen with, you know, giving up Gavin Lux and you threw in Jock Peterson, because I do believe that everybody's going to want Jock in a deal.
Right.
And get Lindor in L.A. Fred, you know what? You might be able to wear two hats.
Let's go. Well, Jim Bowden said this. He said Gavin Lux, Jock Peterson, and he's putting in Ross Stripling, who we love. I don't know why Cleveland would want him, but we love him. He's a great guy. And don't laugh, Kevin. And in return.
You had Dustin May in there.
But I was going for the big deal. I wanted Kluber,
you were giving
too.
Up even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what he's got. He's got Lux, Peterson, and Stripling to the Indians for Francisco Lindor. In my deal, I had Lux, Seager, Peterson, Dustin May.
Yeah.
And the catcher Ruiz from the minors for Lindor and Corey Kluber.
Right.
Ned thought I was giving up too much.
Yeah, he said a little rich.
Little rich, but I was getting warm. Now, Jim Bowden has dialed it down a little bit, and he thinks maybe that's what it would take to get Lindor, And if it does again, I'll see you at the airport. I'll see you down at the airport. I'm sorry. We love these players that we mentioned, especially Jock, but I will personally drive them to the airport, and I will wait for Francisco Lindor to arrive and drive him back. Because you would make that, would you not make that trade right this second?
Yeah, you almost have to. If that's what you're giving up, you know, and I think the piece of that, the, you know, obviously the strong piece of that deal, because we still don't know, you know, how Gavin Lux is going to be. You know, he's certainly top prospect, but Jock has done it. Jock has proven that he's a 30 home run guy. And you're getting, it was a Stripling he threw in there.
Yeah, he threw in Stripling,
who's been a quality pitcher for the Dodgers. Man, you almost have to make that deal. You have to make that deal. Like you said, I don't, you know, I'm not driving, you know, that's kind of rude, Fred. You want to drive them to the airport and send them off.
Well, no, I don't want them to have to take an Uber. At least we want to thank them.
We love Uber, though.
We do. We're giving a $50 Uber card or Goober card away.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, that sounds real. And I like what he said about why Lindor would be such a good fit. You talk about LA. LA needs stars. He would fit perfect because he does have an infectious smile, his personality. He plays hard every single day. Not going to take any time off. I mean, it's or any plays off, I should say. He's going to hustle. Two-way guy, he would light up the city and give us, you know, the Dodgers, I think, a big-time jolt and a boost.
And even with Corey Seager, if he stays, or Cody Bellinger, who was the MVP, Clayton Kershaw still on the roster, if they were to go out and get Lindor, he would become the face of the franchise. He would be the guy.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Over Cody B?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Lindor has...
I don't know about that.
I got to tell you. Lindor is infectious with his personality. He's a transcendent player.
He is. I would say maybe co-faces, but I would not discount Cody going into next year because of what he's done. And he came up through the system, right? So he's a Dodger through and through. So I don't think you can discount that part when you're talking about face of the franchise. But I do agree with you because of his, you know, his personality, not his talent, obviously, but I think his personality and how His smile kind of warms people and lights up the television set or even the field. People in LA would welcome that with open arms.
Now let's talk about Gerrit Cole for a quick second. Yesterday we mentioned this, but now it's more confirmed that the Yankees are writing any check Gerrit Cole wants. That's simple. What do you want? I'll just write the check right now.
Let's be nice.
How long you want to be here? We'll make that happen as well. Estimates are his deal could be as much as $250 million or maybe north of $250 million.
For what, 5 years?
They're not saying.
Well, if it's $250 million, it can't be more than 5 years, right? Can't be. He can't do a, what is it going to be, 7-year deal, 8-year deal for $250
million? Oh, you're right. Yeah. So it's got to be 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years. Angels, very much interested. I think Artie Moreno would write a check, too. He just bought that land down there. Mm-hmm. He's got Mike Trout. He's got Joe Maddon as a manager.
Yeah.
He needs pitching. I think he might write that check as well.
Yeah, he just might.
Okay, so now you're at 250. Let's call it 275. Let's just call it 275. Let's go north of 250, Rodney, for 5 years.
275 for 5 years. North of $50 million a year.
Yeah. You're going to write that check if you're the Dodgers.
Yeah, because it's not about the money with the Dodgers. It's about the years, right? That's where their concern is. And you're going to get 5 years, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, with the long term. I said, you give me good – if he signs an 8-year deal and I get 5 good ones out of him, yeah, I'm doing that deal all day long. And now you're talking about doing a 5-year deal for $275. Give me my pen.
All right, so you're going to write that check.
Yeah.
And you're going to sign him.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Now, what are you going to do?
Now you're going to put a wrinkle in it?
No, now you've got to sign Lindor. You're going to trade him. And he's going to be big bucks. So that's who you're going to build around.
Yes.
Yeah. Lindor.
How old is Lindor?
He's young. He's like 26, 27, right?
If even that old.
Yeah, he's young.
And then you got to turn around. You're going to have to pay Cody B.
Going to pay Cody B. That's it. That's your team.
Yeah.
The other guys will all kind of fit into line.
Fit into line.
Right, because Kershaw will be gone.
Yep.
So that'll be big money.
You still got, I mean, think about your team. You know, you still got, you're going to have Verdugo for a while.
Right.
Locked up.
Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler. You don't get rid of Chris Taylor or Ekeke. Those guys are valuable for your team. It's not going to cost you a whole lot of money.
Muncy,
you know. And again, you still got Justin Turner. You can play anywhere you want him to play. Say you move Seager to third base. You know, Justin works it out at first base.
Will Smith at catcher.
Will Smith, young guy. You're good. Lindor and Gerrit Cole. Next 5 years, you got two titles.
Okay. Let me throw this in real quick.
Oh, damn it, Fred. I was getting excited already. Now you're going what?
Well, no, I'm going to throw this in.
Okay.
Can you go completely insane? I mean, completely and totally insane. Trade for Lindor, sign Cole, and sign Anthony Rendon.
No.
You can't go that crazy?
No. Why would you?
Again, well, we go back we're to here.
Why would you?
Why not?
No. Why would you? I wouldn't go. I would do it opposite. I'd say, okay. Again, I'm off. No disrespect to Rendon. I'm off the Rendon because of Justin Turner is still there and can do
okay.
Just about the same things. I'd say what you originally started with, get Kluber here too. You still go get the Gerrit Cole thing, but you do the trade, find out what else they want, and try to get Kluber here.
So you're saying get Lindor and Kluber and sign Gerrit Cole.
Yes. Do a trade for Lindor and Kluber, and then, you know, you definitely open up the wallet for Cole, and then you'll eventually do that for Lindor. But I don't know Kluber's deal, but yeah, you get Kluber here for, say, he's got 2 years left, and you ride these next 2 years out with a monster roster.
Well, and that staff would be Gerrit Cole,
yep.
Kluber, Buehler,
yep.
Kershaw. As your fourth guy.
Yeah.
And Dustin May.
Unless
he left. And if he left, it'd be Gonsolin. You only have one left-hander in the rotation, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're going to lose Ryu. Yeah.
Urias, maybe. You make him a spot starter.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Let's not forget about Urias, who I think, you know, at some point in his career, that light's going to go on. He's going to be a very, very good pitcher.
And if not him, you still have May.
Yeah. Well, he put May in that deal with Kluber.
Yeah, we sent him to Cleveland.
And Kluber's up in 2021.
So you get him for 2 years. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get off the Rendon trade. I get off the Rendon.
You're done.
Yeah. And like I said, I love the way he plays. I think he's top two. You know, him and Nolan Arenado, I think, are the best third baseman in baseball. But I wouldn't give it up because I still got a guy that just hit 27 home runs last year, and that was being injured. Now that's been his issue the last couple of years. Justin has been hurt, but he's still, when he's in the lineup, he's a quality player, a very above average player. So I would not give up the farm to go replace him.
All right, well there we go. The winter meetings start on Monday. And David Vasse will be on every day next week from the winter meeting. Some days next week, we're only on for an hour, Kevin. But we're still going to have Dave on, right?
Okay. Every day.
So every day next week, you're going to get Dodger.
We're going to get a hot stove.
We're going to get it. And he will, you know, if we propose these deals to him, he's going to... I'm not even going to bring it up to him. I'm not even going to bring
these
up.
Oh, no, you got to. Why not? He's right there at the winter meetings.
I know, but what's he going to
say?
You got
to throw it out.
You know what he's going to do.
Oh, he's going to poo-poo everything.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to sign off on any of this stuff. But it will be interesting, and we do expect the Dodgers to make some sort of move now going into next season.
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney Pete.
Red Rogan.
Weekdays, noon to 3, right here.
AM 570, LA Sports.
Order online today.
Rogan and Rodney.
Rodney Pete.
An athlete.
Rodney Pete.
A father.
Rodney Pete.
An LA icon.
Rodney Pete.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570, LA Sports.
Uh-huh, Ronnie. Yeah. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. On a Friday. Is it going to rain today, Fred? Raining?
I think tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah.
All right.
The ninth annual KFI Pastathon is underway. There are dear friends from down the hall. We love everybody at KFI. It's at the Christ Cathedral Garden Grove. Help Chef Bruno feed and house underprivileged kids in the OC. They're broadcasting till 10 p.m. tonight. All you have to do is stop by the cathedral and drop off pasta and red sauce or donate money, at KFIAM640.com. They are our dear friends. This is a labor of love for the folks at KFI. Ninth consecutive year they're doing it. So if you are in the Orange County area, stop by the Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, or you can donate to KFIAM640.com. Okay, now let's bring on the national basketball writer for the LA Times, our dear friend Dan Wojcicki. Dan, good afternoon.
Hey, Fred. How are things? Good Friday for you?
It is Friday. Well, it's Friday for all of us, Dan, to be quite honest.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Yeah.
Some places, it's more of a mindset Saturday. For me. Every day is Friday.
There you go, because life is just grand for you. Now, we do want to talk about the Lakers.
Where are you, Dan? Are you in a tunnel?
I think he's in Milwaukee.
I'm in Milwaukee in my hotel room. Is it a little echoey?
No, it just sounds like the line's being bugged.
Yeah, it does.
That's all right.
But bugging us?
The government.
Yeah, that's how it works at Milwaukee. I've understood. A lot of that going on. All right, before we get to the Lakers, tonight you've got the best team in the East against the Clippers, and it's the matchup of Kawhi and the Greek Freak. Isn't this the first time they've met since last year or the playoffs?
Yeah, Kawhi didn't play when Milwaukee was in town earlier this season. So, yeah, this is the first time they'll have played since the Eastern Conference Finals.
And Kawhi's going to play, so that really will be the matchup of the night in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big game. I think the Bucks have been somehow even better than they were a year ago, despite losing Malcolm Brogdon. I think they've got such a strong identity, Fred. They know exactly who they are. And to me, what I'll be watching is a Clippers team that's still trying to figure out, I think, who they are and how to play with one another and what's the best way to use Kawhi and Paul George together. I think that's still a process that's ongoing. But I'll be really interested to see how Doc Rivers kind of unleashes all of his defensive options on Giannis because, no team is really built to stop a guy like that. But they've got bodies to throw at him. Mo Harkless, Kawhi, Paul George. They're all credible options against a guy like him, maybe even Jermichael Green. I think it'll be really interesting to see what they try to do against one of the toughest covers, in my opinion, in the NBA.
All right, I'll ask you, like people say about the Lakers in terms of Milwaukee, they've played a relatively soft schedule. So are they that good? Are they as good as their record is showing right now? Or is it that they just haven't had a tough stretch yet?
I mean, I think it's part of it, right? I mean, they did win in L.A., but that was against a Clippers team that didn't have Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. You know, they played Portland without Damian Lillard. They've had a handful of these kinds of games where they've lucked out in terms of not seeing a team at full strength. I think they're good, though. I think they're very good. They have such a strong identity. They shoot the ball really well. They have a lot of depth. So I think these are all sort of pieces that point to the Bucks having a really good regular season, right? I mean, they shoot it well, they've got a star, and they've got, 10, 11 guys that they can count on every night to, give them, pretty good minutes. So, the schedule's been a little soft. The East is sort of a little soft, But I think, they're looking at this tonight like a test, too. And so that's why I expect this to be a pretty high-level game with both teams kind of firing and, it should be a good atmosphere here. People are excited about it, and I think hopefully we get a really good game, and we learn a little more about both of these teams, by the time it's over.
All right, so the Lakers are in Portland tonight, and do you think the teams in the West that were wondering how good the Lakers were going to be are now realizing they're pretty good? As a matter of fact, better than they thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think any sort of questions about, was the fit of the guys around LeBron James and Anthony Davis good enough? I think those questions have largely been answered. The schedule is what it is. Obviously, coming off of a really impressive set of back-to-back wins over Denver and Utah, everybody I talk to, Fred, thinks that the Lakers and the Clippers, in the West at least, are in a totally different class than everybody else. And I think, when you compare those two teams to one another, the Lakers are just so much more competent right now. They do know who they are. And I think they have a very clear identity. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis are a really, really, seamless fit with one another. And I think that's worked out really well for them. A lot of credit due to Frank Vogel, but I think also a lot of credit due to LeBron James. And somebody who is took his summer very seriously, between filming the movie, You know, and I don't know if you heard, he's going to be in Space Jam 2. I've heard him talk about it once or 100 times.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Breaking news. But, you know, in between that, like, I mean, this is a guy who was able to take, you know, time off and get healthy and get recharged and, you know, work on his body, I think. And you know, in talking to people that work with LeBron, he had a great summer in that sense. And, you know, I think he's talked about it. He said, you know, this is sort of the best he's felt physically in years. And I think on the court, it shows. He had a layup against Utah where, you know, he got a rebound. He went coast to coast and just bullied into whoever was guarding him and kind of pushed the defender under the basket. It was an and-one situation. He got fouled. He went right through the foul. And to me, that was like the type of play that you would see that you saw LeBron make in the finals, you know, 3-4 years ago. And he's doing this with regularity, plus playing hard on the defensive end. I do think the teams in the West know the Lakers are a real problem, and if they stay healthy, they're going to be there in the end.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you touched on him real quick, but I just want to emphasize this because, you know, a lot of and LeBron and Anthony Davis, they certainly deserve a lot of credit. But a lot of coaches talk defense. Like, we're going to play better defense. We're going to emphasize defense. But it is it's absolutely showing with the Lakers that they have taken pride in playing defense. And I credit Frank Vogel for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, you know, I mean, going into the season, you know, I think a name that a lot of us expected to sail out would be Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah.
And it has been like a nothing story with the Lakers. You know, this is definitely, I think, been obviously an overwhelming success for Frank Vogel through the first quarter of the season. Players talk about sort of his attention to detail on the defensive side of the ball, the way that he's able to communicate sort of his scheme and his message. And, you know, I think guys like playing for him. He's, you know, a pretty straightforward guy. People like him. He's likable. And that stuff, I think, does matter. But mostly I think it's a respect for what he's able to get out of these guys defensively. And then, you know, a lot of it, too, is just effort and intensity. And they're playing with effort and intensity in a way that they didn't a year ago. I think, you know, when LeBron knows that he's got a chance to win a title, and I do think that they have a chance to win a title this year, you know, you see him, I think, at a different level than last year when I think, if he was being honest with himself, you know, he knew even if they'd stayed healthy that they weren't going to be good enough. So I do see sort of a combination of that extra effort and intensity, you know, with a strong scheme. And I think those two things together are why they're one of the better defensive teams in the NBA.
You know, before I let you go, you talked about the group of players coming together and it seems to work. I think a guy that was overlooked, or maybe we didn't appreciate his importance, was Rondo. Because after he got healthy, I mean, his contributions, he's not playing a ton of minutes, but when he plays, they're a different team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, he's another playmaker for them. He's obviously a very high IQ player, and he's also a pretty good spot-up shooter. He's a low-volume shooter, but he's a guy that can step into open threes. And, you know, I think he just gives them an extra ball handler. It takes a little of the pressure off of LeBron James as a playmaker, just a little bit. And obviously he has, you know, a history with Anthony Davis, played, you know, they were teammates in New Orleans. And I just feel like he's just like another, like, really solid professional player that, you know, on a team that has, you know, the level of star power that the Lakers have, those guys are incredibly valuable. Just guys that, you know, you can count on to do two or three things, you know, exceptionally well. And I think that's where Rondo is at his career right now, is, you know, and I think he's done well coming off the bench. His pairing with Alex Caruso has been, I think, a nice little surprise, those two guys playing together. And, yeah, Fred, I think you're on it. I mean, I think getting him back and healthy and in their mix, like, it's helped take them to another level.
All right, well, Dan, thanks for coming on. Enjoy Milwaukee tonight.
I will, Fred. I enjoyed it last night. I'll enjoy it tonight.
Well, you can't enjoy it enough. Dan, thanks. Have a good weekend.
All right, bye, guys.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our buddy Jacob Imrani. You're a good person. Some things, bad things happen to good people. And if that's the case, You need the best in the business. Jacob M. Ronnie, 844-24-JACOB, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob M. Ronnie, call Jacob.
So Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is so upset with his team and their performance these last couple of weeks. They lost again last night to the Bears. He does a weekly hit on 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, every single week, and he actually got off to a bit of a rough start to his interview. He cursed twice, said that the hosts were out of line. People thought that he actually hung up. He did not hang up on the interview. His phone actually dropped because some weird automation system they have, whenever they hear curse words twice, it automatically hangs up on the guest, so he had to call back.
Do we know the word he used?
I do know the word he used, yes. Fred.
What's it start with?
It's the bull. And the other part of it.
Okay.
Thank you, Rodney.
All right.
He didn't use dad gum?
He did not use dad gum. It was not Philip Rivers, unfortunately. But within all of that, in the interview, he says, nobody's more responsible for what's going on with this team than me being him, Jerry Jones. And when asked once again whether or not Jason Garrett's job was in jeopardy, he says, it's important to remember when you quit on your coach, you quit on yourself. We're all part of this. He says he doesn't think that getting rid of the coach may necessarily solve their issues.
I like it. I like that, Jerry. You know, you may, you know, probably as an owner should not be doing as many radio interviews as he does. You know, don't like that part of it because sometimes he undermines the coaching staff and what they're trying to do on the field, especially when he talks X's and O's and things like that. I think that should be left to the coaches and players to describe what happened on the field. But I do agree with him on Jason Garrett and firing somebody in the middle of the season. Like, what is it really going to do? They're still because the NFC East is terrible, they're still in the playoff hunt. But I think it does no good to them for them to fire him right now. But I gotta believe, and I'm sure most people do, that there's no way in the world Jason Garrett comes back next year.
Listen, Jerry Jones can fire off expletives from here to Waxahachie. I dig him. And the league digs him. The team digs him. This is why they are one of the marquee franchises in the world. Obviously, you know, Garrett's been there 10 years. He's gone to the playoffs a couple times. But he works with Jones. Jones knows he can be this, you know, flamboyant owner. Press conferences, radio shows, and Garrett doesn't care.
Is he the NFL's Clay Helton?
Garrett?
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy like Helton.
But he's not going to get you all the way there.
No. He could be the Clay Helton of the NFL. I think it's a great analogy.
Got talent, but can't get you over the hump and get you there.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, that he's the Clay Helton of the NFL. But, he doesn't put up with Jerry Jones.
I don't know if he's the nicest guy that's Clay Helton, though.
No, well, Helton's the best.
Yeah.
Jones and he have a great symbiotic relationship.
Yeah. Isn't the story here, Jerry Jones is bigger than the franchise?
Yes.
Isn't that the story?
Yes. Hasn't it always been?
Yes. Yeah,
his first move was he fired Tom Landry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he bought the team.
The hat?
I understand, but here's the problem. When you're playing like the Cowboys are, it's exceptionally obnoxious and really annoying. You're not talking about, because they're playing the way they are, Jerry Jones is the story. And every word Jerry Jones says, people hang on. This is kind of like when the Lakers were really bad and you tried to find all kinds of other things to talk about and the drama because the product was so bad. That's kind of where the Cowboys are right now. And Jerry Jones has just become the focal point, the lightning rod, the one man that can make all decisions. What you find out from that is that he's not making the right decisions. I just think the guy's being obnoxious.
No one's ever accused Antonio Brown of being obnoxious or making the wrong decisions at all. I don't know if you saw an Instagram post he had yesterday with a photo of himself and Tom Brady side by side back when there was happier times when he was in New England. He wrote the caption, miss you, bro, .. Well, now he also followed that post up, Rodney, with an apology letter. Now, I don't know if he actually wrote this because I've seen his text messages. This seems a lot more.
We all have. We all have, yes.
But he wrote, or someone in his camp wrote, first and foremost, I'd like to apologize to my family, friends, and anyone who I offended. I never once meant to make anyone feel like I wasn't thankful and appreciative of the opportunity I was afforded to play this game that I love. He also said later in the letter that he had inexcusable behavior that he is apologizing for, and he would really like to get back onto an NFL roster.
Where was this before?
That's a good question, Fred. I don't know.
I mean, when he was going through the inexcusable behavior.
Which he didn't specify specifically what. If he's talking about the rape allegations, If it's talking about calling Mike Mayock a cracker and kicking a football halfway across the field in Oakland, he didn't really get into specifics about what inexcusable behavior he's talking about.
Only takes a moment to be enlightened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe the full... Sorry, Fred, but maybe the full reality check is set in with him, you know, as he's had a time to kind of be out of the league. Because not too long ago, he said, I'm done with football, right?
Yep.
I'm done with it. I don't need this. And he showed his bank account and whatever, you know, all those things that he was doing. But I think certainly somebody else helped him put together this letter and this apology. But... Yeah, at some point, the enlightenment hits, and you're like, okay, this is something I still want to do and love. How do I get back? I know I made some mistakes, but man, is the damage done?
Well, look at Dwight Howard. He's kind of Dwight Howarding here.
Yeah.
He gets it now. Seems to me a little soon to get it, by the way.
I would say so, too.
Yeah, it seems a little contrived, a little early to go, you know what? I did everything I did. Now I realize.
And he literally
sends... Within 6 months.
Yeah, but like, he sends contradictory tweets within 4 days of each other is the problem.
Yeah, right.
That's the major issue with him.
Well, he has a bit of leverage because the New England offense is so limited in playmakers, and he realizes, you know, Brady needs help. The New England Patriots are not going to win the Super Bowl with this offense. I mean, it really is the dregs. They need a playmaker. Antonio Brown's already worked with them. He knows their system. Belichick has already embraced him. Brady loves him. He knows he has a little bit of leverage. And the Patriots need a playmaker if they're going to get through the AFC and get to Miami.
Here's the thing. Are the Patriots going to compromise themselves and go back crawling to Antonio Brown for the sake of winning?
That's the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah. They would never do that.
Yeah.
Well, they played, you know, they've played murderers on their team. And they, you know, they have played some very unscrupulous.
They didn't play him after he
at
murdered.
At the time, nobody knew at the time, Vic.
Yeah, if they knew that he'd done it, they wouldn't have been there.
If they did a background check, they would have known.
But he didn't murder anyone before that.
Yeah, at that time he hadn't murdered anybody.
He had a troubled past.
Do your due diligence. Your freaking due diligence.
Well, they drafted him out of Florida, Vic. He hadn't murdered anybody yet.
Yeah, but he had problems.
A lot of guys had problems, but.
Yeah, he had problems.
Bottom line, they would accept Antonio Brown in a second if the league would give him the green light.
The Patriots wouldn't. John Gruden would. I think John Gruden would absolutely take Antonio Brown back if Antonio wanted to go back to Oakland.
I don't think so.
I agree.
You don't think so?
I agree.
You know him better than I do, Rodney.
I don't think so. I think that's too much of a pride thing with Gruden. He takes things personally. So
yeah.
I don't think he would.
Now, the Philadelphia Phillies, we all want the Dodgers. We say they have monopoly money. They have all the money in the world to go spin. They're not doing that. They've been very financially prudent over the last couple of years.
And successful.
Yes. The Phillies have not. The Phillies handed out that gigantic contract to Bryce Harper in the offseason, traded for JT Realmuto, missed the playoffs. They had a 500 record this past season, I believe. So they follow that up by spending even more. They signed Zach Wheeler a couple of days ago to a $118 million deal. Now there is a report they're all in on Anthony Rendon. Luxury tax be damned. They're willing to make him their top free agency priority and give him pretty much almost whatever he wants.
Remember last year before they signed Bryce Harper, the owner said, hey, all I've got is money. I'm
sure
spend.
Did. Yeah.
I got stupid money.
Stupid money, Vic. That's exactly
right. I'm going to spend it. I don't care. Okay, well, the thing you realize...
Stupid money.
That doesn't work.
Stupid money.
Just start throwing money at people. Let's think back to what Artie Moreno tried to do in Anaheim. Remember Josh Hamilton?
Yeah.
Albert Pujols?
Sure.
Yep.
Go out and just start throwing buckets of money at people. It doesn't guarantee success.
CJ Wilson was in that, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The only way you can do this is to build, scout, develop. That's it. And if you have a hole, you plug it. But you just don't keep throwing money at people. Because... it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, by the way, Bryce Harper had a good year, Fred.
He did.
Solid.
Yeah, he did. But no, you can't. For the sake of trying to build a roster, and if you've got somebody careful, that's why the Dodgers didn't do it. They knew what they had already. And they'll, just because the guy's got the name, he's not better than Cody Bellinger. I wouldn't take him. Over Cody B in any time, any day, anyhow. But man, spending just to spend, I'm not with that. So it's the reason why the Phillies are where the Phillies are.
Listen, I respect the Phillies for spending the money and trying to create a winner.
Yeah.
And they have to spend money. You know, the Wheeler pickup was excellent. He was a second-tier A pitcher. He was coveted by a lot of squads.
Why'd he get rid of Kapler then?
Who?
Dave Kapler.
Oh, Kapler was not working there.
Oh.
You know, the first few months it was working. But then the naked coconut oil philosophies, I think. I don't know if the team bought it.
He took it up to San Francisco.
Yeah, I would have bought it.
You would have bought it,
right? I'd buy the naked coconut oil.
Yeah.
Listen, if it makes you free and you're more creative and more effective,
yeah.
Let it be this holiday season.
Thank you, Vic. Someone else who's free this holiday season?
Yeah.
David Fizdale. Just got fired by the New York
Knicks. Are you kidding?
That according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
You know,
and he could take Keith Smart, his lead assistant, with him. They both got fired.
Oh, I am blown away. Number one, it's not Fizdale's fault.
You're right.
I mean, they've lost, like, you know, 65 in a row. This is the worst Knicks team in generations. But it's not Fiz's fault. It's the management put together small forwards this year. You know, Julius, yeah. Randle, and all these really small forwards who really can't make a difference on your squad. They put together a horrific collective in New York. And yet, you know, the fans go and get ripped off every night. But the bottom line is, it's not Fizz's fault. The GM, they are so ineffective, and they're the worst owner in sports, and Dolan. But they got to pin it on someone, so they had to pin it on Fizz.
This is what happens when you don't have great ownership.
Right.
And this is nothing new for the Knicks, because they have been struggling with James Dolan as owner.
Mm.
Fizdale is a very good coach.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And they signed him, like, to a five-year deal.
They sure did.
Last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to pay him off. And he'll probably take that money and say, thank God I don't have this heartache anymore. I'll just sit here and wait. Thank you. What? It's really unfair and a complete disaster. And by the way, it's not going to get much better without him.
No, it's not going to get better until the ownership is done with. I mean, it's just year after year after year that's just bonehead after bonehead. And it's a shame because sports, like we always talk about, you know, it's better when the Yankees and the Dodgers are good.
It's better when the Knicks are good, but it's been decades.
Not that the NBA's, you know, dying because they're thriving, but it would be better if the Knicks were good. Especially now that the Lakers are back.
Yes.
It'd be great if the Knicks were good. But they haven't been relevant since you lived there, Vic.
They're garbage. The Knicks are garbage. But yet, the fans pay, you know, $14 beers, $12 hot dogs.
They come out.
They imbibe, they drink, and they scream, and they go nuts. And Spike Lee's there, you know, on courtside going crazy. But the team is just so weak. It's just an embarrassment to the league. They've lost, like, I don't know how many in a row, but they've lost by 30 points back-to-back, more than 30, for the first time
it's
in team history.
It's an unwinnable situation.
First time in team history, they've lost more than by 30 back-to-back, and I think that was the last straw for Fizz, that they couldn't even stay within 30.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
All right. We're giving away home for the holidays between now and 2 o'clock.
Yeah, baby.
The biggest thing we do every year. Keep listening. Somebody's going to have a chance to win that enormous prize package.
Weekdays at noon. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peake. After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
Ranch.com.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Delight.
They say he likes a good time. He comes alive at midnight. My mama doesn't trust him.
Hot! Today's Afternoon Delight is My Oh My by Camila Cabello. This is one of 14 tracks that appears on the Cuban-American singer's sophomore album entitled Romance, which dropped early this morning. Just two of the 14 tracks include features from other artists, one of them being her most recent chart-topping single, Señorita, which features her boyfriend, Shawn Mendes.
I like Señorita.
Yeah, man. And the other track is this one, which features up-and-coming rapper, DaBaby. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is My Oh My by Camila Cabello, featuring DaBaby.
You know what else? I like Havana.
Havana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You been to Havana, Fred?
Makes me think of my trip I never took.
Oh.
Yeah.
No?
It's never too late, Fred.
I know.
You didn't get NBC to kind of get your way down there at some point in your career? No?
Mm-mm. No, but I'd like to see Cuba, see what it's like.
Maybe you and Mario can go together.
Maybe. I don't know why Mario would go.
But maybe we could.
We can translate for you, Fred.
Oh. I don't think Mario speaks that dialect of Spanish. There are different dialects, right?
They can still understand each other. It's Spanish.
Okay, well, I can kind of understand
Spanish. Just because you speak Spanish, if you're from Mexican descent, doesn't always translate to if you go to Spain, Ronnie.
Right.
Some of the accents and the words may be different, but it's
the concept is the same. Yeah, I hear.
All right, listen, we have to do something. I have to do something now. And the other night on Channel 4, at the end of the news at 11 o'clock, we ran a story on Grinchmas, I believe is what it's called, at Universal Studios. And it's the big holiday situation where the Grinch comes out, and they do it every year. So we interviewed some people, Rodney. And one of the guys that was interviewed was wearing a Grinch wig, and his name was James H. Carter. I didn't know. I don't know James H. Carter. Anyway, he was standing there and talking about how it was his dream to be able to come out and, you know, be like the Grinch when the Grinch was out there. And I said, you know, I said something at the end of the show. I said, you know, wow, like a 46-year-old guy's dream to be the Grinch. Boy, that's a dream come true.
Oh,
yeah, something like that.
You were taking a shot, Freddie.
Yeah, well, I was trying to be funny. I don't think it was as funny as I thought it was. Anyway, I reached out to James Carter.
You did?
I did.
To apologize?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Look at you.
And I said, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about what you do so some people, if they're interested, could be involved? And it turns out, and I was not aware of this, James H. Carter actually runs a website called Creepy Kingdom. It focuses on the spooky side of theme parks and films. And they also produce films like Foolish Mortals Doc. He said, since this isn't too much spooky stuff going around at Christmas time, we do love covering the Grinch because he's so sarcastic. So anyway, I wanted to say to James H. Carter and the gang at SpookyStuff.com, apologies. And if anybody is interested in spooky stuff and covering spooky stuff at theme parks, that's the way to go. Rodney, I wanted to say that. Because everybody has a passion, and that is their passion.
Good on you, Fred. Good on you, man. Now, I'm sure they're happy about that, Fred.
Well,
gave them that shout out, and you kind of validated what they do.
Right, and that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
I didn't do it in a spooky way. But nonetheless, to James Carter and the folks at SpookyStuff.com, my apologies.
866-987-2570. This is Rogan and Rodney.